My name is John Davis. Today is Monday the 16th of December 2013, and I'm about to interview Mr. David Harris. David, will you please introduce yourself and tell me where and when you were born?
Hello, I'm David Harris speaking. I was a pattern maker at Fielding & Platts, apprenticed at Fielding & Platts in 52. I went to Fielding & Platts in 1951 from school and eventually ended up in a pattern shop. I think, first of all, I ought to go with give a brief sort of a resume of what pattern making is. I think most people are familiar with the process of pouring molten metal into sand molds to form castings. Pattern making is the process of actually making a full-size replica of the finished product, finished casting. The pattern will be made in wood to engineering drawings and engineering standards, and the pattern maker will make different allowances as he required for later on for the casting to be machined in the machine shop, and adequate taper, what we call draw or taper, on the pattern so that it would pull out of the mould easily. Now, the patterns made at Fielding's were large. Large by most people's standards, 10 feet or 12 feet square was fairly common. I think some of the largest I actually worked on were up to 15, 20 feet long. And say most of the main components of the presses, the large presses, were actually all castings. There was some of the smaller presses were made in one complete casting, the base plate, the framework, support of the big hydraulic cylinder on top. That was all made in one piece, as one pattern. It's quite a difficult job to do. So, as I said, the patterns were large and very heavy, and the men were, I always consider, very, very good at their job, very skilled job. They were presented with a drawing and told to get on and make it, and nothing in front of them, just a drawing. They had to construct this pattern, plus all the cores and core boxes, and which I might go into if someone's interested, to fit and match it, make sure it would come out of the mould, make sure it was strong enough to stand being handled by cranes and bit abused perhaps in its life. And in fact, you know, it was quite a difficult job. I think it was quite exacting, and I think. Quite honestly, I think they were probably best paid in the factory. I'm not sure, probably compared with tool makers, but I never really had any comparison with that. Of course, everybody complained about their wages all through history, but I think we were reasonably well paid in the time.
David, I heard from somewhere that you used a special rule to measure. Was it something to do with allowing for shrinkage of the metal as it was cooling? Am I right there, or am I wrong?
Yes, that's quite right. We used special contraction rules, which actually reminded me of something. They looked very much like ordinary engineers' rules, rigid engineers' rules, which are commonplace all through the factory. And one of our tricks as an apprentice was to go into the factory or one of our friends and try our contraction rule against their standard engineering rule and say, look, your rule's not right. And they frown and say, oh, that's not must be your rule. Well, all the contraction rules had a standard scale on the one side. So surreptitiously, we turn the rule over and check against their friend's rule, their mate's rule. Of course, it came out correct. And of course, the fellow was very worried because he's been using this rule for a long time, and I've just proved that it's wrong. Of course, I quickly corrected him because the actual contraction was approximately a tenth of an inch to a foot. Not a lot to see, actually, but on a large pattern, that can add up to an inch or so and can be quite significant. But on small patterns, even on small patterns, of course, with the more precision work, which we didn't do much at Fielding, it was very critical. But as I said, the rules looked very similar to ordinary engineering rules, and they were available in different lengths, a normal 6-inch, 12-inch, and a 2-foot rule, and in fact even a 3-foot, a rigid rule, rigid spring steel rule. I think they were about 1 1/8 wide, well, the standard engineering rule, which everybody knows about. Yeah, okay.